I'm Dr. Laura Van Aert, researcher at Richtown Campus, University of Guelph. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Caitlin Congreves and Anne Verhollen and Adam Hayes from OMAFRA. They're the ones who collected the soil samples. So we went to four different long-term trials to look at soil health. So the sites are here in southwestern Ontario, and the criteria used in selecting the sites was that each crop rotation had to have a no-till and a conventional till system. And so we had four sites that meet that criteria. I'll give a little bit of background on each of the sites. So starting at Richtown, which was 4 years established at the time of sampling, it's a clay loam site. So no-till at all four locations was no-till. The only soil disturbance was at planting. The conventional till at all four sites was moldboard plow with secondary tillage, either cultivation or disc. At Richtown, Allora, and Ottawa, it was fall plowed. At Delhi, it was spring plowed. Other than the timing of plowing, they were similar across locations. Rotations varied quite significantly among the sites. So we have at Richtown continuous corn, continuous soybeans, soybean corn, soybean wheat, and a corn soybean wheat rotation. Moving up, the Delhi site is a loamy sand, again spring plowed, and because of the high sand, tobacco is in the rotation, so we have a tobacco-tobacco rye rotation, and that's in comparison with continuous corn and soybean wheat. Okay. This isn't working then? No. Okay. That's fine. So moving on to Ottawa. Ottawa is a sandy loam site. Here we have the three crop rotation, corn, soybean, wheat, and then each individual crop as a monoculture, as continuous crop. And then at Allora, Allora is our longest site, 29 years since establishment and soil sampling. You can see there that the diversity in crops tested and the diversity in length of the crop rotation varied. There was the inclusion of alfalfa and red clover in the rotations, and that's quite reflective of the production in the area where there's a lot of varied production. So the sites are consistent in no-till versus conventional till being more about plow versus with secondary tillage. Crop rotation varies quite a bit amongst the sites and soil texture. So we followed the Cornell Soil Health Assessment. The reference is there. Samples were collected in June 2009 and May 2010. Following the procedures, it was a 15-centimeter depth sample from each subplot. Samples were sent to the certified laboratory for analysis. I'm going to qualify that although we followed the Cornell Soil Health Assessment methods, for various reasons we were unable to do penetrometer readings, available water capacity, or iron content. So because of that, it's not a true reflection of the Cornell Soil Health Assessment. Regardless, we did scoring according to the Cornell Soil Health Assessment. So individual parameters were scored and then the mean taken to get an overall soil health. So we did sample all crop phases in each year, but those were pooled to investigate the overall crop rotation effect. We analyzed sites separately to determine the impact of tillage crop rotation and their interaction on soil parameters and the Cornell Soil Health Assessment score. So this was done individually. So at individual sites, and then we took all four locations to do multivariate analysis and principal component analysis at all four locations. So starting here with results, this is the significant effects. And you could see individual parameters, the 15 listed there. Where there's a letter, it indicates the site and a significant effect. So what we can see is that there's very little tillage by rotation interaction. So we did look at tillage and crop rotation separately because of the lack of interaction. So the sites indicate where there was a significant differences, and we can see that there's quite a bit of variation between sites and between rotation and crop rotation and tillage as to which factors were significant or not. Because there's an awful lot of data and a lot of sites, I'll start by just looking at the tillage systems. And I picked three parameters that I thought would be of interest. So starting with aggregate stability, this aggregate stability is done by a rainfall simulator according to the Cornell Soil Health Assessment Test. We can see higher aggregate stability data presented as a percent in the no-till versus conventional till at three sites, at Richtown, Delhi, and Elora, and numerically higher at Ottawa. Organic matter, which was done by combustion, we can see no differences between tillage systems at all four sites. That was similar when we looked at active carbon, no differences between tillage systems at all four sites. And then lastly, we have potentially mineralizable N. This was done according to drink water. So it's anaerobic incubation for 7 days. And you measure soil mineral N at the beginning and at the end. And that gives you a measurement of potentially mineralizable nitrogen. And we can see at Delhi, we have higher in no-till versus conventional till, and numerically higher at Richtown and at Ottawa. So based on the Cornell Soil Health Assessment, the parameter data is converted into a score, and then you take the mean of all 15 parameters to get an overall score. So here's the overall, and I'm going to call it modified because we didn't do those three parameters. But what we see is higher soil health with the no-till versus conventional tillage. At all three sites, at Richtown, Delhi, and Elora, and no difference at Ottawa. So this is quite similar to what you might see in the literature, higher soil health with no-till versus conventional till. If we look at the Cornell Soil Health Assessment, they use a ranking system. So between 55 and 70 is ranked soil health as medium. If you're lower than 55, it's ranked low in soil health. If it's higher than 70, 70 to 85, soil health is ranked as high. So we've got numbers. The question now becomes, we have a statistical difference, but what does that mean in terms of function? Numerically, they're different, but is the soil functioning different? Is it cycling nutrients and carbon differently? That's the next question. And I believe the Cornell Soil Health Assessment is a good method to provide indications of soil health, but the next step is, what does this really mean on a function level or on a yield production level? Regardless, I'll look at crop rotation. So So here we have data. This is soil health score data, same as the last one we just saw for tillage. So the first thing to point out is that Ottawa and Delhi had no significant effect of crop rotation on soil health score, so not significant. Where we did see a significant crop rotation effect, we saw higher soil health values or scores when winter wheat was included in the rotation. And that's consistent with the literature. If we look at the other rotations in Ellora, we see that where alfalfa is in the rotation, that's the highest on soil health. So, and that too is consistent with the literature and the promotion with alfalfa and legumes in soil health and crop rotation. So we took all of the parameter data, the individual parameter data, and from all four sites and subjected it to multivariate analysis, and shown here is the principal component analysis on two axes, so principal component one and two. And what we see right away is definite grouping by site, as shown by the different colors and dots. So we have grouping by site. Now, site includes soil texture, soil group, the cover crops that were used, or sorry, the crops that were used, as well as the climate. So there's lots of things that go into this site. So we wanted to try to pick away and see if we could get a little bit closer. And we looked at soil texture, and we do see that the data are separating according to texture, where Delhi and Ottawa, the sandy or the coarse soils, are grouping separately from the silty and the clay soil types. So what this principal component analysis is indicating is that there's potential to perhaps look at soil health from a soil texture point of view, and perhaps we could modify an Ontario soil score based on soil texture. However, cropping system and tillage system did not group. So we see no impact of tillage or crop rotation within our principal component analysis. Having said that, though, when we plot the individual parameters via principal component analysis, in component one, we can account for 44% of the variability in the data and 18% on component two. So in total, we've captured 62% of the variability in the data. So this is significant considering we're looking at four locations that are between 14 to 29 years of establishment with different crop rotations. So we can account for 62% of the data. The other component here is that it's grouping into five different groups. And with principal component analysis, those five groups, we're wondering, might they be useful in designing a new soil health test? So I've got these groups here on this slide. And so our next step in this research is to try to figure out, can we use this grouping to perhaps build a weighted score for Ontario, or perhaps select representative parameters within each group to design a soil health score for Ontario, and as well base that on soil texture. Overall, this is the first study to assess multiple long-term sites with many different soil parameters. The modified Cornell Soil Health Assessment score showed higher soil health with no-till versus conventional till at all sites except for Ottawa, where there was no difference in tillage practices. As well, the modified Cornell Soil Health score indicated higher soil health with winter wheat and alfalfa in the rotation. Therefore, growers interested in improving soil health might consider adopting no-till practices, winter wheat, and alfalfa in their rotation. And as one might expect, we saw less differences with crop rotation than we did with tillage, again, because of the impact of tillage on soil in general. So I'd like to acknowledge the following funders, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions.
Yes.
Right. So the question is about, if I can paraphrase, is so we study these long-term effects, and it's from 14 years of establishment up to 29 years of establishment, but prior to that time, those soils would have been either under tillage or not, and we don't know the influence. The bottom line is we don't know the influence of those tillage, previous prior tillage practices on it. At Richtown, where I'm most familiar with that site, that would have been under a typical plowing system prior to establishment of those. But it could be differences among sites as well. Yeah, the Ottawa site, why there wasn't any differences either in tillage system or in cropping system, we're not entirely sure. We're not sure. I think at Ottawa, there's a lot of variability in the soil to begin with, and I think that's a factor. Whereas Laura is much more consistent. Delhi was much more consistent in soil structure and stuff. And then at Richtown, there was a little bit of variability across the site. But I think that is the main thing at Ottawa.
Yeah, we have time for more questions. Yes.
Right. So the question was about sampling depth and how that might play a role in soil quality. And yes, absolutely, there's the potential that soil depth plays a role. We were following the procedures of the Cornell Soil Health Assessment, and we were using that as a first look at it. However, there's definitely other systems out there that look at other depths, and that could have a definite influence.
Yeah. Any more questions? What? No questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.